you how you's gonna count. I know that. Still popping? Turned off a minute. Better now? I guess so. Always works before. So I'll be out of my element now. I can't walk around and talk, so y'all just have to live with it. Have your Bibles, open them up to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So for those of you visiting, most of the time I like the headset because I can walk around, so I'm kind of hung to this thing now. But that's all right. We'll make it through it. For those of you who don't know, Cody said it's my turn with electronics. Usually he's battling it. My grandma used to say idle hands was the devil's workshop. Of course, you got to remember when she first came to Texas, was the first light bulb they'd ever had in a house. So she was a little older than you, Miss Jean. And electronics started coming out, and I told her one day, I called her Mimi. I said, Mimi, it isn't the devil's workshop, ain't idle hands. I have found out it's electronics. He loves to mess with us, don't he, Cody? Thank you for the music. The title of the message is Your Ministry. I'm going to share with you a lot of, I guess, in my daily walk with the Lord, a lot about what he's been teaching. And as y'all know, these past couple of weeks in my other job that the Lord allows me to have, I have been up in Dallas the last 2 weeks, and I will go back there Monday. We have a very large proposal that's going out. I would ask for your prayers in that of wisdom. I understand that's business, but I think that I'm a firm believer, just like Megan, anything that we're interested in, God's interested in. This bid will be over $385 million. So you can understand why there's so much attention to it, right? Everywhere from the CEO to the board of directors, and they're all eyeballing this thing already, and they're very supportive of it. We appreciate that in them. At the same time, I understand that's either a career maker or a career ender. You know, you look at it one of two ways. You either do really well on it or you fall on your face. And we don't want to fall on our face, so a lot of attention. This will be over a 2 years spectrum that this will take place. A lot of technical things to it, a lot of what we do in building these stations and transmission lines and all. But it is one that we're trying to go through to make sure that we have everything. The second half of that prayer is, it is in San Jose, California, which I'm not a fan of. But it will be where that thing is being built. And so I'll assign people to my PM staff and all to be the overseeing it. But it is drawing a lot of attention. So I would appreciate your prayers for wisdom and direction from the Lord. And in that, the past 3 weeks, most of the time, you know, I teasingly say I am the submarine commander, because I don't go to the big offices, okay? I'm privileged to be able to work from home or on the road at jobs. And so, you know, I pop up there and they go, well, we hadn't seen you in a while. And that's because I'm a submarine commander. I just come up every now and then, pop it up, and then I go back down and dive and stay down below the radar. I like it that way. But I've been there for, this will be the third week in a row. So but at the same time, and a lot of folks that I deal with on the phone all the time, I'm actually getting to see in person and sitting in these meetings and in conference rooms and things like that. It's a face-to-face deal. And so what the message today that I want to share is that, you know, we all have a ministry. You have a ministry. I do. Everybody does. What we do, what we say every day, a lot of times we do part of it out of habit. I mean, we're creatures of habit. But how important it is for every word, every action that you as an eyes carry as a Christian carry out influences someone. It influences someone, whether they be a believer or a non-believer. You influence. For the believers, you can help uplift, you can help teach, you also can receive the teaching for them. For the non-believers, you may be the only Christ that they see as you profess to be a Christian. And so you and I have to guard that very carefully to keep our testimony, not for me, not for you, but for Him above all. And so it's in everything that we do, every aspect. And as Paul says, we fight against not flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. And let's be honest, we're all people. So how we perceive things is reality to me and you. And how folks perceive you and I as a Christian becomes their reality of what they think it is. And so it's very important that they have the proper perception of our Lord and Savior. And then maybe that influences them, if they don't know Him, to come to know Him. If they do, maybe it influences them to become closer. And so this morning it says, is your test, your ministry, is the title of the message. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, I invite you to stand, if you are able, to honor the reading of God's Word. I do believe, I will up front tell you, God calls each of us to a ministry. Sometimes He allows us to expand those ministries, and sometimes He will take us out of our comfort zone of things we don't think we can do, but He has a plan for us to do. And if we allow Him to work through us, He will put the right people, the right characteristics in us, and the right people with those talents to be around us, because He orchestrates all those things. So here, as we read this, and I preface this to tell you, as we read this, I believe that all of Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul is instructing, being the mentor to Timothy. As we read this and Paul is speaking or writing to Timothy, I want you to take this as you hear these words in the same vein that the Holy Spirit gave it to Paul to mentor Timothy. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, is speaking to each one of us about our ministry. So as we start, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come and give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on those things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. You may be seated. Paul starts with this, with saying, let no one despise your youth. Now, Timothy was young at this time that he was ministering. But to you and I, that may be the youth in your walk with the Lord. Whether you have been with him for years or whether you are a recent conversion, an acceptor of giving your all to Jesus Christ, irregardless of that, let no one despise your youth. For we understand when the Lord speaks through each one of us, regardless of our age, it is him who is speaking, not us. And so take that into consideration of what is written here. We know the Lord has been, is, and will be for all of eternity. Every one of us, Gene, even you, in comparison to him, has a youth. We are youths. We're obviously much younger because he is the creator of all things. He says, be the example to the believers. So here it's not just those that don't know Christ, but it is being an example to even those who do know Christ. Whether young or old Christian, we're an example. As one who is older, and I know some of you as well in here as an older Christian look, and you begin to see the growth in a younger Christian. I don't care about your age. We're not talking about physical age, but spiritual age. There is nothing better to me as a pastor, to me as God giving the leadership of this congregation, than to see you begin to grow and mature as a Christian. It's like watching your kid grow. All of us have been there. And you start seeing that young man or that young lady, you see them transitioning from that time of being a youth into being adulthood, the maturing of themselves. I mean, face it, we walk around people all the time in our world, you know, they ain't no more than 4 years old when you watch how they act, right? And they'll fall on the floor and throw a tantrum. We had one this week did exactly that. I bet that man's 50 years old, and he ain't more older than a four-year-old child. And it gets comical sometimes. And one of my coworkers that is over the construction managers, he said, what do you say to people when they ask what you do? I said, well, I tell them, you know, I'm the vice president of project management, and I'm an adult daycare keeper. That's just all I can tell them, you know. And we oftentimes, we do that. We act like children. We get all bent out of shape and throw a tantrum and, you know, short of them actually acting like one and going, I'll just hold my breath. Well, hold it. When we turn blue, hope you wake up enough to call 911 is all I can tell you. Maybe get rid of you. I won't have to put up with you no more. Not really. But we do that. And, you know, it dawns on me, and I told, his name is Stace, too. He's from Louisiana. I always introduce us when we're on a call together. I said, we're both named Stacy, but I'm the better-looking one. Just because he's from Louisiana. Probably makes me smarter, too, being from Texas, or at least I tell him that. We have a good time together. But it is the fact that you know, when we come and begin to speak, people are listening. People are watching. And God's give you that same ministry. Doesn't matter what phase of life you're in. It doesn't matter what position God's allowed you to be or anything else. I'll be the first one to tell you in these meetings, we're bringing guys from the field. We want to hear what they see in those drawings, the constructability, the feasibility. It's important all the way up and down the line. We don't need a bunch of people sitting in an office making that decision. Well, if that's important for a bid, how important is the kingdom of God to you and I? Yeah, we talk about, you know, for old poor folk to me, $385 million, I can't fathom, right? But what is that compared to eternity and where you'll spend it? You know, part of our culture is we say nothing, no project at all. No matter how big it is, how small it is, nothing is worth one of our linemen's lives. How much is worth the spiritual life of people you come in contact with every day. Because even if they make a mistake and the electricity kills them, where are they going to spend all of eternity? So this is temporary. That's forever. So he continues on. He says, be the example to the believers. You and I have the ability to encourage each other. That's why we spend time in praise and prayer. To see what all God's doing around us. Oftentimes we get isolated in our own little world, you know, and we think we only see what we see. We'll go back to that bid, same thing. That's why we bring in fresh eyes. That's why we're bringing in field crews. We're bringing in other people from all other parts of business to review it. That's fresh set of eyes. See, we get siloed and think, I just don't see God doing nothing in my life. We'll expand that vision because I got news for you. God's completing prayers and making miracles every single day. It just may not be in your turn yet, but it's happening all around. And so he says, we have an influence upon other believers. We trust in the living God who is our Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Be the first one to tell you, I'm not special by any stretch of the imagination. And I took a whole big bucket full of God's mercy when he called me. See, I wasn't worthy, anywhere worthy, still not. But it's his grace and his mercy. So I'm not special, just as he says here, but he says, we trust. I trust the counsel if I listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say, even in business and life and everything. If I listen to Him and I trust that, it's going to turn out good. I promise you every time. Been there, done that. And I can also see when I trusted my wisdom. Worthless. Disaster, train wreck. And that little part of that spirit says, I tried to tell you. And then I read the word and it says, he tried to tell you. Pay attention. Old Solomon, who was so wise, said in 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge him in all thy ways. See, acknowledging him in everything that we do. I don't care if it's record driving. It's barrel racing, it's guitar picking. Maybe you're cooking. Maybe you just retired and enjoying what God has given you. In all, we have to acknowledge Him. He continues on here. He says, until I come and give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Folks, we're seeing prophecy fulfilled every single day. And we're waiting on the point in time here, Paul says, until I come. The Spirit's saying, until I come, until Jesus comes again. That time is getting shorter and shorter. I know there's some of you in here don't want to watch the news because it's not depressing, but I got news for you. That news ain't depressing. That's exciting to me to see because I understand the word of what God's given us to see, and I see things happening all the time. One of the things I realized this past week on the news, they were talking about Madami, or however you say his name, the socialist running for mayor in New York City. And some of the commentators were there saying, you know, I just can't see how people vote for him. And it's just one of those things, I'm kind of listening, getting dressed, getting ready to go to the office, and it dawns on me, and I have no, it's not because I'm smart, I'll be the first one to tell you that, but it dawns on me through the Spirit, where do most of the Jews in the United States of America live? Ain't no different than before when Jesus walked this earth. They're blinded because many of them are voting for him. Even though they don't hear the rhetoric, they really literally do not hear what he's saying, that he is not for the Jews. And he will dramatically change that city. I'm not talking politics. I'm looking at it from a biblical aspect. But Scripture tells us that the Jews will return to their homeland. Now, what you think? You try to tell me how all them Jews up in New York City are going to go back to Jerusalem when they're in the U.S. Unless things become very tough on them. They can't make a living. I may be off the wall, but I see that with all that's going on. And it's hard for me as an American to believe we would elect a socialist, but I also see the providence of God. And I see what's taking place. Many of you know, as we talked about in Bible study, we would not have Israel as a nation had it not been for Adolf Hitler and what he did to the Jews. It was a terrific, horrific thing. But because of that, all of the nations of the world sat down and said, we will recognize them as a nation. If you read your history 2 weeks later, they were trying to take it back, and they couldn't because God opened that window. But there is a plan in everything that happens. He says, pay attention. He says, I will give attention to reading, exhortation to the doctrine. That tells me that me and you should do the same. Give attention to reading his word. He tells us his character. He tells us what is to come. He tells us what is right now. Not only to that, but also to the doctrine. If y'all spend any time at all listening to a lot of the different preaching that goes on, there is a very huge lecture of false doctrine going out to our world today. It is not the true word, because man wants to twist it, influenced by the devil himself, as he's always done since the Garden of Eden. He wants to take God's word and twist it so that it makes you and I, as Jesus said, they listen what will tickle their ears. And we go about saying, oh, but God is full of diversity. Yes, he is, but not the way that you mean the diversity. All these things we should accept. Got news for you. There's two genders. There's the he's and the she's. That's it. All the rest of this is to tickle your ears and make you feel good. The problem is you're listening to the wrong voice. He continues forward. He says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. And that struck me. God gives each one of us talents. And we're not to neglect the talents he's given us for his service. And y'all think about that a minute. You kind of look around this room, you get all different types of faces, sizes. And you kind of look around this room and you think, well, I know what he did for a living. He's got an expertise in that and what somebody else did. Some can sing. Some have trouble turning the radio on. But imagine if we were all exactly the same. Well, as long as they look like me, they'd be okay, right? No. If all you ever, you know, there's a reason you and I don't eat baby food anymore. Y'all ever tasted that after you become an adult? You think, oh my, how did I eat this? I kind of get tickled. I got that German Shepherd, Rita. And there's some points she just won't eat. My wife says, I think she's sick. No, she ain't sick. Try a different brand of dog food. You give her a different brand of dog food, she eats it up. I said, see, she's just like me and you. She got tired of eating the same thing. I like Mexican food. I like steak, but I don't like it all the time. Every day, one day, one meal after another. So we look for that variety. Whose image are we made in? Guess what? We're made in his image. God likes variety. And he has all these things of his kingdom that he wants done, so he spreads all those different gifts. Some can write music. Some can write poetry. Some can cook. Some of y'all can't cook. You think you can, but you can't. Okay? Some of you, he blesses and puts upon your heart to make me a banana pudding for my birthday. And thank you. I appreciate that. Okay? Yeah. I already shared. I had to put it in the icebox, and Doc Dunn got him a big bowl full out of it. And I told him that was fine. I'd share with him. If y'all want some, I'll give each one of you a spoonful, okay? I can share. Some he puts here on earth that we think oftentimes is here to agitate us. God uses them to grow you and I. And to give us patience. I've learned that. Yeah, I took this new position, but I've learned, yeah, Lord, okay. I made the mistake like Herman and prayed for patience. He gave me 15 children to be patient with. And sometimes that's tough. So, Connie, I tried to tell you, me and the elders are blessings. He's just teaching you patience. Comes in every walk of life that God has. He's looking for us. He says, don't neglect that gift. If you've got a gift, use it. For you see, those of us that don't have that gift, we need you. I spent a large portion of my life being in law enforcement. Orin there's going to go to EMT. I'm glad for EMTs. I've had to have them before. That wasn't my talent. My talent was real simple. Cut yourself. Learn anything out of it, Cody? Here, stick a rag on it. I know it ain't clean, but it's all I got. Tie it off and it'll quit bleeding. Sometimes there's folks that, you know, if you're bleeding from the head, yeah, we need to put a tourniquet around your neck. It'll stop the bleeding. He says, do not neglect the gift that is yours, which was given to you by prophecy. Who's the author of prophecy? God himself. It was given to you because the Lord says in Jeremiah, I knew you before you were ever in your mother's womb. That's prophecy. He says, I already have a plan for you. I know exactly what talents I'm going to give you because I know what I'm going to call you to do. Some folks are real good with their hands, mechanically minded. Some can see things and build it. Others of us, we don't know how we got there. If we tear it apart, we couldn't get it back together. But we enjoy what they produce. Some he gave the hands to be with animals, with cattle. Some to till the soil and grow food for us. You see, there's not a single gift that God has given you that doesn't benefit not only you, but the rest of us in turn. So use that gift that you've been given by him. He says, with the laying on of hands of the eldership. He's talking specifically here to the fact that Timothy came before the elders, and we still do that tradition today. When someone has been asked by God to be a preacher and all, we ordain them and we lay on hands and we pray for them and pray over them. But see, each one of you is ordained to have a ministry. That's why we should pray for one another. Your ministry is just as vital as mine. I never wanted to be the preacher, but God called me to do that. And after a lot of prayer, we yielded. It's not because I'm good at it, it's just what he gave it. Now, he gave me the ability to talk. It may not make much sense, but that's okay because I can talk and he just takes over. More than half of everything I say is not for me. So when you find out, well, I just don't like that, probably something I said rather than the Spirit said. It's okay. Have a little grace and mercy on me. Sometimes my mouth gets in front of it. But it's to let him speak. I'm just the vessel. You're the vessel in your ministry also that he's given you. Some of you have a great talent working with kids. Others of us don't have that talent. We just want to choke them out. Okay? Hardest thing I ever did in law enforcement, they put me a week over in juvenile, and I went to the sergeant and I said, you better get me out of here because I'm going to kill one of them little suckers. String him up. That's not my forte. All y'all, you know, we appreciate your compliments to Royce and I, how good that young man turned out. It's because I threatened to kill him and make another one just like him. And then one day he pissed his mama off and she said, I'll smack you and make another one just like you, boy, only it'll be perfect this time. He didn't bypass or question her meal making anymore. Obviously, y'all can see he ate pretty well after that. We all have to have that discipline from God. As he lets us know we messed up, we weren't paying attention to him. He says, don't neglect the gift. Don't neglect the fact that, and it's important, this eldership, you see, as a church congregation, each one of us, yeah, we have to have some leadership that God gives us with this church, but each one of us in here is an elder. I'm going to pick on Miss Mildred because I know she accepted the Lord at a very young age. That's a Christian elder mama to me. Jimmy's the same way. I want to listen to what you have to say. You know, they usually sit up here in a row and they're real quiet and all. You get them in Bible study, they'll talk. And they share that wisdom. You see, I'm blessed to have these elders of this church. I'll be the first one to tell you, I glean off of their wisdom that God gives them to speak up. And each one of you in this church. It's not my church. It's God's church. We've been blessed to be here. And he leads, as y'all have seen in our decisions, we put it to prayer. That's why this small church keeps growing and thriving, because we're not dictating what we want to do. We look to him for leadership and guidance in everything that we do. We can do the same thing in our personal life. He continues on. He says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. Cody sang a song a while ago. In there he mixed in was about giving everything to follow Jesus. You look at those as an example of those disciples that Jesus called to be his disciples. They walked away from their business. They walked away from everything to follow him. They had no idea where they were going. Any more than we do. But if we sell out to Jesus Christ and we follow him, whatever it will be abundantly blessed for you and I. God never leads you down the wrong road. I'm reminded of David's words there in that 23rd Psalm. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that's not necessarily the physical death itself, although it's included. There's times we walk down paths. You know, I talk about this proposal, $385 million. And I said, it's a career builder or a career ender. You don't think it runs through every single one of our minds is, hey, we fail at this. We could tank a company. It's a company. Yeah, but it's a company, if we put it in that financial strait, that has over 3,500 workers for it. We impact a lot of lives with our decisions. You see, each one of us impact lives out here for the kingdom of heaven. That's even more important. You say, well, you're scaring me now. I don't want to open my mouth and mess up. He'll give you the words to say every single time. That's selling out, trusting him. He calls you to speak, speak. He calls you to do, do. He calls you to go, go. He calls you to sit still, plant yourself right there and wait on him till he says, get up and go. He then talks about here, as we finish this, he says, meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. See, that's what God is in the business of. He's a grower. That Holy Spirit, Jesus, one, Jesus came in order to redeem us, that we have the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit live within us. The Holy Spirit is a comfort, a guide, a teacher. He's growing. His job is to grow us. No different in my work. When I took that position, anytime that anybody is in a position of leadership, it is your job to grow someone underneath you to take your spot. It's just the bottom line. You and I have children to grow and take our spot. From generation to generation to generation. To grow and take our spot, because we won't live forever on this earth. We want to have young men and women that understand God's statutes, that continue forward with the gospel till our Lord returns to take our ministry spots. They may have different talents and a different ministry. That's fine. But somebody will pick up where you and I are in a ministry when we leave this earth, when God calls us home. He says, I send my word out and it will accomplish what I sent it to do. And if you and I aren't the ones that go and do it, when he calls on us, he'll put somebody else there to do it. But he gives you and I the opportunity. See, our whole nation, we're founded on that, that we have the opportunity to enjoy the American dream. It doesn't say it's given to you. There's a falsehood out here that you should be given everything. I'm sorry, I believe God pretended because of the fall that man had. He told Adam, he said, you will toil and you will make food by the sweat of your brow. He made us to work. Just because you retire from your job doesn't mean you retired from society or life. That's when they lay you in a coffin. Until then, you and I, especially as believers, are called to be workers for Christ. Why your age doesn't matter. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. Megan's probably about the youngest one in here today, and Jean's pert near the oldest. Some of you are catching up with her real fast. My grandmother used to say, I don't know why the Lord has left me, but he's got things for me to do. Miss Jean, he's still got things for you to do. And Megan, he got a whole lot for you to do. And the rest of us fall in between them two. And be an evidence to all. Be an evidence to all. What kind of evidence do you and I put forth to others? He also comes and he says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Take heed for our own life, but also take heed to God's word and what it says. I don't want to put out false doctrine. I want to make sure it's correct, because I might influence somebody the wrong way and it affects them and we have that domino effect. But it's also for me. We talk about leadership in here, God, the way God has ordained it and structured the family. Ladies, you have a responsibility you're held accountable for being the mother of your children. Gentlemen, you will have an even higher accountability for being the dad and the spiritual leader and the man of that house. Elders, you will have more responsibility than those men because you're allowed to be a leadership of this church. And then we come to me. I'll be held at even higher. And I believe that also for those who are our elected officials that we put in those places of authority. There's leadership, there's responsibility. God's given you that opportunity to be in that position. And it'll really be effective, not for yourself, but for Him. He'll take care of you. There's not anything I've ever seen in my life when I did what He asked, I got a return out of it. Wasn't doing it for a return for me. I did it because he called me to do it. But I get a whole lot of return out of that. And that return isn't always in a monetary deal. You all don't realize the blessing that you have afforded to me and my family each and every day. Each of you. Even the honorary ones are a blessing. You start looking at people that way because God made each one. It kind of changes your attitude toward them. I said, I got 15 children. Yep. But I also have to remember that each one of them is a blessing. And they are when they suddenly do everything right. When they mess up, I hadn't coached them enough. It's my fault, not theirs. Unless they just refuse to be coached. See, all of us have influence. All of us are on display for the faith that we claim. It says, take heed for yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. How important that is. The world's going to try to tell us we're off track, may even make us begin to question ourselves. But if you go back to this book and you stay according to what God says, you're on track. Continue in those words. Not about whether they're popular. Not about whether they offend someone. We're not looking to offend them, but we are going to preach the truth. We are going to tell the truth. Because they have to hear the truth. He said, for in doing so, notice this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Now, some want to interpret that to view our salvation. No, I don't do any saving of myself. That belongs to Jesus Christ. The only way I save myself is I invited him into my life to be my Lord and Savior. It's the only way you save yourself. But what he's saying here is, you save yourself. You want to have that abundant life John talks about, that Jesus spoke of in John? The abundant life is because you follow the doctrine. You do what God asks you to do. Cody and I have had this talk many a time about how we've both been blessed on things that we would have never thought we'd have got to do or be able to enjoy. It's not by our doing. It's how he is blessing us following his word. But you also affect the lives of others. It might just be that through your ministry, you actually bring them to a knowledge and a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It don't get no better than that. And there'll be those that we don't even realize that we influence that we're watching. But one day in heaven, they'll say, I'll remember when you handed me a Bible. I remember when you told me about Jesus Christ. Somebody told us, right? In fact, there was probably several people involved with us coming to know Jesus Christ. My brother gave me a book here. I kind of thumbed through it while we were singing, but I want to share one of this. This is a Cowboy Essential Poetry book. One friend of his. But I'm going to read you one. Says, be the kind of man. And I'll close with this. Many years ago, for I can't say when, since I've been around, many have been. Driving cattle, way out there, a young man once asked me why he should care. He got up the nerve, and he looked me in the eye, and he wanted to know the real reason why. Why ask for more when I did enough? What's the big deal about this integrity stuff? My way of walking is straight without lies. Men work for excellence, and the boys just try. For when nobody's looking, it ain't just good enough. You end up cheating, and life becomes tough. Because all of you got in life is your name. It can't be replaced with money, nor with fame. It takes a whole life to build up trust, but day after day, being honest is a must. For if you're reckless or let your guard down, that's all that they'll remember back there in town. So be the kind of man, when your feet hit the floor, the devil starts a-cussing as you head out that door. Kind of a cowboy way of what Paul tried to tell Timothy. I invite you to bow your head, close your eyes. I'm done.